You can listen to The Professional Left on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or at our website, professionalleft.blogspot.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for August 11th, 2017. It's not safe for work.
Coming to you live from what will soon be the darkest spot on the day side of planet Earth, if we don't get nuked first, it's the Professional Left with Driftglass and Blue Gal.
Way to preempt that solar eclipse, Donald.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to be outdone by some goddamn solar eclipse.
Right.
I'm going to rattle my saber. Oh, we also should mention we're welcoming back an old sponsor. Our good friends at Where the Good Lord Split You, Emergency Farewell Party Planners. Where the Good Lord Split You, because the minions of the Trump administration, any day might be the last day of your professional life. And they're coming back. This is currently the most profitable business in Washington, D.C. For their special end of summer, never saw it coming party package, use the offer code MOOCH. Also, we have a new sponsor.
I was going to say before you do the new sponsor that Where the Good Lord Split You will also do parties at CNN for Lord.
For Jeffrey Lord. Yeah.
Typing a Nazi salute into Twitter gave them just the excuse they needed to can your ass.
Yeah.
Overdue.
When you want to send the message, we should have fired your ass 2 years ago, contact Where the Good Lord Split You. Yeah, but no, we have a new sponsor that if you're not ordering a party package and if you're a little hurry for lunch, welcome our new sponsor. Technically, it's a salad.
Technically, it's a salad. Yes, that is our new sponsor. And I think they deliver, don't they?
We're going to be working up a lot of stuff about Technically, it's a salad.
Yeah.
We just started with them today after we had lunch at a local restaurant and we got what was technically a salad.
Technically a salad. Uh-huh.
And we found out who their suppliers were.
Yeah.
And we approached them and they said, sure, we'd love to sponsor because you're technically a podcast,
yeah,
right?
Technically.
Yes, we are. So.
Hey, I think after 400 episodes, we are officially a podcast.
I think we're officially a podcast. We're not recognized outside of the Tri-County area.
Yeah.
But technically, we're a podcast and we're being sponsored by Technically, it's a Salad.
Yeah.
And of course, all of our old sponsors are still there, but we don't have time because it was an action-packed week in Crazyville.
Yeah, it was. And we just want Mr. Thiel to know that we don't need your stinking $1 million.
No, no.
Or
you
20
can just have
million,
that right back.
Or whatever.
I just sent it right back.
That's insane.
I just sent it right back.
$20 million, we just sent it right back. This is inside baseball, folks. But congratulations to the Young Turks. They got $20 million from Peter Thiel and a bunch of other, I guess. I don't know a bunch. I mean, what's a bunch? I don't know who.
They raised $20 million from a bunch of people.
From people.
From people.
Who have
people
money to give to podcaster-type people. And, you know, you could do worse than the Young Turks, I think. But at the same time, $20 million, I don't know what we would do with $20 million.
First of all, I don't travel in those circles. I know exactly what I do with
$20 million. What would you do with $20 million?
I'd rather that would be an entire – that's a podcast number 402. What would Driftglass do with – well, I would spend whatever it took to get on Meet the Press once.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, all right.
That's all. All I want to do is get on Meet the Press once. Today, Chuck Todd just opens his mouth and says, you know what, Chuck, let's talk about the fact that the Republican Party is the problem with our politics. We're out of time. Chuck, you've got 51 minutes left. You know what? Let's go on to our next panel, which is Democrats in disarray.
Yeah, right. No, that's the whole
That's
point.
An evergreen topic.
Yeah, no, I think for $20 million, you should get to host Meet the Press for one episode, you know? But anyway.
Yeah. No, I would do? I really would convene like not an alternate to Netroots Nation or an alternate anything, but I would like to convene something in the Midwest.
Yeah.
I recognize the fact that they have Politicon in California and everyone's clustered in Washington, D.C. And I get the fact that most of the media firepower is concentrated in those places.
You don't have to have $20 million to congregate people. You just have to make it really expensive and really snooty. Because people will go to the Aspen Ideas Festival, no problem.
That's true.
Big names go there. But because it costs a lot to go there and it's exclusive, people go. And people go to Davos for the same reason. You know, you just have to make it really expensive and exclusive. And I don't know how you do that in Springfield, Illinois, but
why do
I, if you had Barack Obama come, you could do it. Hey, Barack Obama, you've been on a podcast before.
It'll be called Todd Talks.
Yeah.
And it'll be about why Chuck Todd is a miserable failure as a journalist.
I think that's a really low bar to get in on, though.
Some of the best bars I've ever been to, Blue Gal.
The lowest bars.
So don't knock low bars there.
We are getting off on lots of tangents here. Jeffrey Lord tweeted the words...
Zekiah.
Okay, I didn't know if you wanted to say that on the podcast, but yes.
Well, it's what he did in public, out on Twitter. You know, Jeffrey Lord, by the way, if you don't know who he is, first of all, welcome to the podcast. You've never been. You're welcome to our planet. He is the white-haired Muppet on CNN. Mm-hmm. They hired to say insane, ridiculous lies about Donald Trump
along
for the last 2 years.
Along with Kayleigh McEnany. And I wonder if Jeffrey Lord will just move right over next to Kayleigh McEnany and do Trump TV.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, this is – Jeffrey Lord was one of the evidentiary units that you would point to and say, this isn't news. We're not watching news. We're watching a puppet show. We're watching a puppet show that's been cast to create a certain level of conflict, apparent conflict. So you're going to put, this – pale, white, lying sack of shit opposite Van Jones every goddamn day and watch them argue, because red ants and black ants fighting is fun. The person responsible for that is Jeff Zucker.
Mm-hmm.
But the person who is equally responsible, frankly, is Van Jones.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the people that participate in that for money.
You're willing to be, Sean Hannity's punching bag, liberal punching bag. Yeah. Then don't laugh when we call you out for collecting a paycheck for taking a dive for terrible people.
And this is why we don't get $20 million from Peter Thiel and company.
No. And never will. And never will.
And that's okay. Because we would give it away and we would build job creation activities in the local community.
Oh, yeah.
And we would.
No, I really do know what I would do with that.
Really. I know what you would do too. You would be starting a workforce development kind of program locally.
I would.
Getting high school graduates and other needy people who need jobs, retrofitting seniors' homes so they could stay in their homes longer, and rebuilding bathrooms and making them walk-in showers. You'd be teaching them construction skills that they could then carry with them, and making sure it was a certification program. See, I know my husband very well.
Yeah. There's a 2 mile stretch of road very near our house that it used to be a commercial hub and now it's falling apart.
Right.
And I there is no money at this federal state level to pay for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Anything. I mean, you literally cannot walk from the church I was at this morning to the local grocery store on the sidewalks.
Right. Right.
If you're in a wheelchair, you're screwed. You can't get anywhere. I would put up a matching grant for the Department of Transportation to repair that stretch of road and make it beautiful. That's construction jobs. I would have businesses flocking to that area.
Mm-hmm.
And I would make sure the businesses that flock there are sustainable and local and hire people and retain them and so on and so forth. I would try to build my community, literally try to build my community. There's lots of things to be done in the world that are useful ways to spend $20 million or $10 million. Dumping them into the lap of horrible people to keep flapping their gums about.
You're not talking about Young Turks. You're talking about Jeffrey Lord.
I'm talking about Jeffrey Lord. I'm talking about, the Illinois Policy Institute. And I'm talking about Fox News.
Yeah.
That's where there is no liberal fundraising infrastructure for things like this.
Yeah.
There just isn't, and there probably never will be.
Well, I would take the money if you were not in the picture and doing your thing with retrofitting, because I'm all for helping seniors stay in their homes. With the number one thing you need to do is retrofit the bathroom so that they can get in and out and bathe. The first thing that goes for seniors is the ability to bathe, because it's just dangerous. It causes falls, and that causes nursing homes. So the thing to do is get the bathroom converted to a walk-in shower with rails so that people can get in and out safely, and a textured floor. And you teach people who are young and need skills how to do that, and then they have that skill of plumbing and so forth, and they're trained on the job, and they're trained in the classroom as well and so forth, and then they also do good for the community. They are members of the community, which is essential. that they be the same class and race and or at least fit in enough that they aren't outsiders coming into some senior's home. Okay.
Right.
That's really important because then they will be listened to and they will communicate and the senior will communicate what their needs and wants are. And that's really important.
And so there's a lot of just to finish that off, there's a lot of little sectors like that.
Yeah.
There are community health navigators that help people in their neighborhood access the local healthcare system.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't, because they won't, because they don't trust it, or there's reasons for it.
And this is as true in the White Hills of Appalachia, where it's important that it be someone who went to school with your child telling you about your prescription medications, as it is in the African-American community, that it be someone who is part of your church or part of your community already. People like people like themselves, and that's not racism. That's just comfort zone.
If I may quote Luke Cage.
your favorite show.
One of my favorite shows. It's important for kids to see, men especially, I mean women definitely, but working.
Yep.
Preferably in a suit or a uniform or something that announces to the world, I'm working a job. It's terribly important.
Mm-hmm.
And there are jobs to be done. There are incredibly important jobs to be done. And I think it was Middle Child was telling me that because they just got back from travels overseas, and we were driving down one of our dilapidated streets here, and someone was sweeping the street or sweeping it up. And she says, in Denmark, they have people in uniform who do this, who go out and clean and beautify the streets. And I'm like, you know what? And she said, and it's a good job. They pay a living wage. It's a good job, et cetera, et cetera. And that's already in her head to think that way. So,
Well, what I would do if you were not in the picture, or if we had extra money in addition to that $20 million, is I would set up a dinner program in District 186 public schools for families. And it would be homework hour.
For school? Yeah.
It would be no screen hour, dinner at a table together, nutritious and fun. And maybe also have pizza night and also have, movie night and so forth. But to make the school part of the community.
After 3 o'clock.
Yes. Right. No, dinner time. Right.
Yeah.
After everybody gets off of work.
A homework help lab. And you know what?
We already have daycare after school at the school. Mm-hmm. I mean, in most schools have some sort of after school program for working parents to pick up their kids at 5 or 5:30. Mm-hmm. 5 or 5:30, you pick up your kids from that and there's a hot meal waiting for you and your kids.
Mm-hmm. A homework lab, a homework help. And you know what? Mom and dad might want to, in some cases,
get
study
their GED,
ESL.
Or get their typing, or get their keyboarding, or get it. Yeah, get computer programming, get coding, get whatever. And you and I talked about this, downtown Springfield setting up a junior college as part of the community colleges system where people can get their two-year, all of their required courses of English composition and the two, history or humanities courses and
out of the way.
Learn how to write a paper and learn how to schedule and those kind of things at a cheap rate.
Right.
And if you have, millions of dollars to spend on that, make it community college with subsidized housing rather than, I realize that's college. But it makes sure that there's housing in the downtown area where that school's going on so that people aren't starving in their cars while they're trying to go to community college. So
we have lots of plans.
Plans and ideas, and we're do-gooders, and that's what we want to do.
This is why we're Democrats, frankly.
Send us your ideas. What would you do with $20 million? We'd love to hear about it.
All of these things, there's enormous amount of good to be done in the world with a little bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
With a really small amount, a tiny amount, you could support a local podcast, for example.
$4, you could do that.
$4.
$5 a month, you could do that. Yeah.
But for small investments at a local level, there are large things that can be leveraged and made better. Just what I hear, because I used to be in and around government, and I talk to people who are – the departments that serve you and me, Blue Gal, have been decimated the last several years. Their revenues have dropped off the face of the earth. They've been cut down to the bone. There are whole floors that are now empty in various departments. This is the Republican vision of lean government is there's nobody to do anything except pave some streets every now and then if you're lucky. But we don't really have a lot of money. So the Illinois Department of Transportation, for example, has enough budget, has like $50 million for this district, which is many, 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 many counties together, which is nothing. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely, and it's all federal or almost all federal. So there's so much that needs to be done, and it costs so little to do it intelligently. And I really do wish there was a party, perhaps, that was interested in providing good government services to people who need it.
Well, and to provide government jobs as the job of last resort for a lot of people as well. And that is not to say that you want to have humongous numbers of make work jobs. But
no.
To get people in the door, to get people trained on how to show up for a job, government used to do that. And government used to provide, you know, a leg on the stool of a working economy, certainly in Springfield, the state capital, but mm-hmm. other cities as well. And yep. decimating that and pretending that those jobs aren't real jobs has...
Michael Steele.
Yeah. Has really destroyed our economy. It really has. We need to move on because we've got so much to talk about. I know we're not talking about Donald Trump. We're talking about making the world a better place, which feels so good.
Yes.
We're talking
about doing it at a local level.
And it's not just fantasy because Driftglass meets with people all the time locally. And this,
I do.
You know, while we're on this topic, I know we're just jumping around here and everything.
Jump around, baby. Jump around. There's only some music.
But we got a letter today.
We did.
And this is right on topic, so I'm going to go ahead and read it to you.
You're going to spring it? You're going to surprise me with it? You're going to spring it on me?
No, you read it, I think.
Okay.
It is from one of our friends who mm-hmm. writes to us fairly frequently. And mm-hmm. he or she is feeling, sent us an article from Paste Magazine, the title of which is "The Kamala Harris Controversy Reveals the Erasure of Leftist Women." Something by pseudo leftists or something. They punch left and then they erase women of color, etc. Okay. Very upsetting article for someone who cares about women and people of color and women of color and so forth, taking the lead and having leadership role within the liberal movement. Some of this, I feel, is overemphasized. The numbers of people who feel this way, I think there's a lot of straw men involved. I think there's a lot of bot activity and a lot of we don't know who's on the internet stuff going on with people who are too young to vote. And Twitter numbers are not real numbers of people that you might see doing this kind of activity. I've seen many more people complaining about how Kamala Harris is treated than I have seen people mistreating Kamala Harris. So let me just say that. But our friend writes... Hello, BG and DG. It's only August 2017, and we are already in a bad place on the left, as you well know. Certainly, you are never hurting for subjects to talk about on the show, but one thing I would like to hear about is what is the rational response to attacks on attempts to move potential candidates to the left? The centrists seem to be saying all attempts to make politician X's past behavior are racist, sexist, etc., and the leftists seem to be arguing now is the only time we have to pressure politician X into adopting better positions. Okay, so, you know, do you just, for instance, accept Kamala Harris as she is because she's a black woman, or do you try to, I don't know, push her to the left, which I don't quite understand what that means, but, you know... We're sitting in Springfield, Illinois. I can understand people in California complaining that their Democratic legislators aren't liberal enough. You have mm-hmm. that luxury in California of doing
yes,
that.
Yes, you do.
That is a luxury. And you need to understand that people in Illinois, where we have multiple candidates on the Republican side running unopposed on the ballot in local elections, we don't have the luxury always of telling people that decide to run for something, particularly women who decide to run for something, oh, if only you were more liberal, you know?
Yeah, sorry.
We don't get to do that.
No. Well, everything we just talked about for the last 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, is right.
Is nothing, there's nothing radical in there. There's nothing crazy in there. There's nothing that would drive anyone away.
I think there's plenty there that will drive people away. People who watch Fox News and think that all government spending is awful are not going to vote for that.
Well,
and what we did is we pretended we had a pot of $20 million that wasn't taxpayer money. right. there wasn't property taxes, or there wasn't, you know, when you have an imaginary pot of money to spend that no one else has to kick in, it's a lot easier to make up these programs, right?
I can make the very simple argument that each one of those is a public investment, and the reason my imaginary pot of money was private is because right now the government is so fucked up that it's not publicly available, but it should be. These are things that the government should pay for.
Well, and no offense to, again, no offense to the Young Turks, but when people have that kind of money to risk on, I mean, if someone were to have, and there are people in this world who have an extra $20 million. This is the point that several people made on Twitter this week about income inequality and how, you know, the richest person in the world is now either Jeff Bezos or
Vladimir Putin.
Exactly. Right. And each of them have $1 billion. And
each
no one needs $1 billion.
Multiple tens of billions of
right.
dollars.
They, and right. no one person needs to control that much capital.
Right.
And so the idea of redistributing wealth through jobs programs. And, you know, this is what the 50s, what they did.
Yeah.
And
sorry, guys.
Yeah,
exactly
that's what happened.
Yeah.
Okay. So we do need tax reform. That doesn't mean tax cuts for billionaires. And, you know, we're going to tell Donald Trump to fuck his tax cuts. But here's what I wrote back to our correspondent. I said, at this point, a lot of what we're talking about in 2017 is 3 a.m. dormitory floor conversations with each other. Rather than an actual thing that will bring about change. And so much of what moving left means is waiting for the current generation to die off. I'm sorry to say that, but I look at
it's
my
true.
Kids and they are pro-gay, pro-trans, pro-basic income, pro-insurance for everybody. They have grew up from preschool in multiracial classrooms. They do not, it's not that they don't see color. It's that it is as much a part of you and an accepted part of you as your hair color or your eye color, your skin color is the same. It's just
right.
it's a trait you have. It's part of who you are. Your mom is this. Your dad is this. You're this. It's not a barrier to conversation. It's not a barrier to hiring. They are, you are friends with, you know, we told the story about middle child sitting at a work table with four other students, and they start ragging on her and saying, only we can say that about a math problem, you know, and they're working on math problems. And she says, I think the answer is this. And he said, oh, no, only we can say that. And she realizes I'm the only white person at the table.
Oh,
well, you know,
yeah.
But so when we have that generation come into political power,
a lot of this is going to be real quaint and real old.
It's going to be all new people. Right.
Right.
So the thing to do when we, and I include myself in this, worry about these things of where are people on the spectrum and how do we move people to where we want them to go, is find one candidate or issue that we can personally move in the direction we want and push that one person or thing. And then I said, we can't throw all the starfish in the ocean. And I read that to you and you went, what does that mean?
Are those ninja throwing stars? Because that would be really cool.
I didn't realize everyone doesn't know the starfish story, which is the man on the beach walking along and starfish have washed up onto the beach and are going to die in the sun. And he's picking them up and throwing them back in the ocean. And someone approaches him and says, well, you're never going to be able to put you know, all these starfish back in the ocean, you won't make a difference. And he said, I just made a difference to this starfish. And he threw it back in the ocean. And so you make a difference where you can, and you're one person, and maybe you can get together with 30 other people and make a difference. And maybe you can connect with a bunch of people. Maybe you can connect with a party or a political movement or a candidate. But right now, this is 2017. This is not a presidential election year. And I can't emphasize enough how important it is to focus on the next election, not the one two elections from now.
Yeah, if you're talking about, you know what we really should do is we should just fold our hands and sit this one out and be pouty. If I can't shove you far enough to the left to suit me, I should sit on my hands.
Yeah.
And well, that's what we did last time.
Yep.
That's what happened in the last election. How's that working out for you?
Yep.
And if I could add one more thing to this general topic, I saw Tom Peretz being interviewed or cross-examined by Chuck Todd today.
Oh, no. Really?
And Can I suggest that all the leaders of the Democratic Party go away somewhere for a month and learn how to talk like Democrats? Learn how to talk plain language. Take Al Franken with you. He'll teach you how to use little words in a funny way and learn how to talk like Democrats. First of all, don't accept what you're handed by anybody.
Yep.
So Chuck Todd said, you know, Howard Dean, you know, this is another Democrats in disarray story. Howard Dean said, I want to be the candidate who can go and get the vote of a guy who's got a Confederate flag on his truck.
Oh, Lord.
He said, do you want to be that? Huh? Do you? And he just kept pressing him. What about the Confederate flag? Do you want to be the guy who can – is you're the party? What happens? And Tom Perez kept trying to say, well, we want to be open to everyone. And we want to help. No.
The answer is fuck no. I don't want to be a Nazi party. We're the anti-Nazi party.
Look, Chuck, tell me what the guy driving the truck believes.
Yep.
Does he believe Barack Obama was born in this country?
Mm-hmm.
That I can work with him? Does he believe that Donald Trump is the savior of the white race? Then fuck no, I don't want him in my party.
Yeah.
We don't want people like that in our party. We have been working really hard to get people like that the hell out of our party. Now, you know what? Our jobs program is going to put him back to work. And our healthcare program is going to make sure he doesn't die in his home of something preventable. So we're going to benefit him. But I have no use for someone whose head is that far up his ass.
Right. Right.
Period.
Yep.
Next question.
Yep. And how long did it take to answer? How long did it take to answer that question for you? None. Nothing.
And think about it.
And why don't you have $20 million to go on Chuck Todd's show and say that? I don't understand it. Chuck Todd should be chairman of the Democratic Party. Okay.
I really should. That should be a lot of things. But let's move on to what we do really, which is podcasts.
Well, yeah. I think that's what we have been doing for the past 31 minutes, Strip Club.
Yeah, for the past 400 episodes, frankly. So,
well, I did want to point out, I got blocked by a couple people this week on Twitter.
You did.
For suggesting that the Democratic senators that came out with a plan to allow 55 to 65 to purchase Medicare.
Right.
And this is an actual bill that they've written.
Yeah.
And some people, and I don't mean lots of people, but two that I responded to who called it a halfway measure.
Sure.
And I said, yeah, it's a halfway measure. Let's go halfway. Yeah. Let's get there and then move to the next. But this, if I don't have Medicare for all tomorrow, if I don't have free college for everybody tomorrow, then you're a traitor.
Right.
And I said, let's just decide not to vote no. That's a double negative, I realize. How about not voting no on something that gets you one step closer to what you want?
Yeah.
No, not denying that you want more.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what the Republicans have been doing for a long time.
Yes, half measuring their way
to where we are right now with Donald Trump as president. Okay,
right.
They have been agreeing to half the field for a long time,
right?
And that doesn't mean they've been compromising. They haven't been compromising, but they have been agreeing to seize ground where they can. Exactly. Right. So let's agree to seize ground where we can. The fact that we are talking about Medicare for all
is a wonderful
people are
thing.
Seeing that as a party plank that's not going to alienate everyone.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
And then you could start talking about things like, oh, look, Judicial Watch has filed another court case against Hillary Clinton's emails.
Right.
Today. They have a budget of millions of dollars a year to do nothing but harass Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, that's their job.
That's their job. And since they have those millions of dollars as a tax write-off, as a 501c3, but we can't afford Medicare for everyone. We have to cut back on Medicaid for handicapped kids. That's the Republican platform give a tax cut to people who contribute from their private foundations to Judicial Watch. For the purpose of harassing Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
And that's money out of the tax pool.
Blue Gal, I am not going to go to the grocery store until I can reach it in a single step. I'm just not going to do it. I'm just not.
Our property taxes went up and our mortgage went up $1.07.
I'm not going to pay it.
And Driftglass said, that's it.
I'd rather lose the house.
$1.07.
Are you kidding me? That's insane.
Every month?
That's ridiculous. That's insane. No, I mean, there's a joke about, the man who tried to jump across the Colorado River, got halfway across, realized he couldn't make it, and went back. That's the whole joke.
No, he didn't.
I can occasionally not work blue. It happens from time to time. The point being, if the current Republican absolute clusterfuck with healthcare has taught you nothing, mm-hmm. it should have taught you this. You need a majority in the House of Representatives yeah. and 60 votes in the Senate.
Yep.
And if you don't have that, I don't care how wonderful your plan is. Mm-hmm. If you're close, if you're near, if you can get – if what's your plan to get a majority in the House,
mm-hmm.
get 60 votes in the Senate,
mm-hmm.
and get a Democratic president elected?
Who will sign it?
If your answer is third party, if your answer is Jill Stein, shut up.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have any idea.
You have no credibility based on your past performance. You have no credibility. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, if I may quote from Glengarry Glen Ross, you have no business playing in a man's game.
Mm-hmm.
You have no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
Yep.
Go away. Go make noise on Twitter. Go raise a lot of money for your boutique media. And that's great. And we should have a flourishing country where you have every right to tell your readership at your underwritten site whatever claptrap you want to tell them. That's wonderful. But it's not going to get you anywhere. It's not going to achieve your goal. And if your goal is to hold out until the world catches up with your purity mm-hmm. and give nothing back, that I have then you should be reading The Intercept, not, not listening to the
Hey, this is a Glenn Greenwald free podcast.
True, even though he yeah. thinks we're worse than Pol Pot.
Okay, well, you know, I don't...
Moving on.
Glenn Greenwald thinks of me as none of my business.
Right. Oh, he blocked me long ago. And yeah. speaking of under... Once Pete Omidyar gave him $250 million
mm-hmm.
to expound, he left my pay grade.
Yeah.
I have only so much bandwidth to spend. I should just be writing these days, given how things have been going. I fucking told you so. I told you so. I fucking well told you so to all the people who abandoned my blog because I said Glenn Greenwald often reports on good stories,
mm-hmm.
but he has a really, really clear political agenda that is not good, that is not friendly, and I want no part of it.
Mm-hmm.
All the people who called me a jackbooted tyrant and a tool and obot, I lost a third of my readers.
Yeah, yeah, you did. Yeah.
I got blocked by a whole bunch of people, and my name got dirtied in a lot of places where people used to welcome me, and that's fine. But you know what? Fuck you. Turned out I was right and you were wrong. So maybe if you want to buy your way back into my good graces, just make the check out to the Professional Left Podcast.
PO Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois. All right.
Anyway, moving on to the actual news.
Let's do our bullet points. We're going to go through our bullet points because so much happens every week, and we are recording on Thursday late afternoon.
Well, saber-rattling lunatic. Everyone knows that. I titled this one The Goons of August.
Yep.
After Barbara Tuchman's lovely book, The Guns of August,
mm-hmm.
about how the hell did World War I start? And the answer was, if we only knew. Well, welcome to World War III. We're right at the doorstep. Because one belligerent, unhinged lunatic who believes a lot of crazy shit is shaking a saber at another one. And both of them have nukes now. So this is fun. But here's the thing. You and I went through this when we were kids.
Yes, we did. Well, you did more than I did.
Yeah.
You were born earlier than by 3 years.
Yes,
and by the time I came into school, the war thing had soured a lot. In the 3 years between the time you were in sixth grade and I was in sixth grade. So
yeah, not soured, but sort of, you know, I mean, I still remember keeping in my mom's linen closet
mm-hmm.
a book that they handed out at school about how to cope with a nuclear war and how to you know, what fallout looked like,
mm-hmm.
and this was what Rankins are. How do you count fallout? This was just something they handed out at school,
mm-hmm.
You know, and so. I still remember the Cuban Missile Crisis happened. I was technically alive, but I was not aware. But that's in my universe.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm just as freaked out as anybody. I'm just as pissed at anybody as anybody. I'm just as once again, this, if you can't learn any fucking lesson, learn this one thing. You got to have somebody who's not a fucking walking Breitbart comment section troll running your country.
Yeah.
And as we learned this week, half of all Republicans, 81% of Trump voters still approve of what Donald Trump is doing.
Yeah.
81%. Those are the people who are too stupid, who are too brainwashed, who are too dead from the neck up to be saved, to reach with reason, talked about, coped with. That's the problem with getting your majorities in Congress
mm-hmm.
and getting
mm-hmm.
your liberal agenda through. There are tens of millions of people in this country who are too far gone to ever let you do that. And so you have to figure out a way how to get around them or over them or through them, because you're not going to just be able to sweep them aside and say that they don't exist and they don't matter. So 81% of self-identified Trump voters approve of what he's doing. Half of all Republicans believe Trump won the popular vote, half of them, and would be okay with Donald Trump delaying the 2020 elections if Trump told them to.
Yep, that's over half. Especially if Congress agrees, it's 56% of Republicans say that you can delay the 2020 election, 2020 presidential election, and keep Trump president to make sure that illegals aren't voting.
Right, all those illegal votes.
Yeah.
That's what we're actually dealing with right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, but part of it is, since nobody listens to us crazy liberals anyway, we can have some fun with it. We can at least amuse ourselves. We can talk about what we can do at a local level. That was the first third of our show.
Mm-hmm.
But we can also talk about the fact that Mitch McConnell is now officially an honorary citizen of Liberalville.
Yep. And that does not mean that we're going to be nice to him, because he's a bad person.
He's evil from head to toe. But it's time for Mitch McConnell. It's his turn to
go through the Donald Trump spanking machine. Yeah, yes.
Now it's all his fault. It's all his fault. Mitch McConnell is a lazy, goofy, stupid old man who won't pass goddamn health care. And here's the thing. There's a kernel of truth in this.
Yeah.
The Republican Party has been saying that repealing Obamacare will solve all your problems, will clear up your acne, will make your wife come back to you, will bring your house. You're playing the country music record backwards.
Mm-hmm.
You get your truck back, get your wife back, get your job back. If we just get rid of Obamacare.
Yep.
And they've been saying it for 7 goddamn years. Now they've had their chance, and suddenly they realize, oh, we were lying that whole time. Guess what? All of the mobs that we whipped into a racist frenzy over this subject, we were lying to them, because we know how stupid they are and how willing they are to be led to a racist conclusion that they've already prepared themselves to accept.
And when they wash the Negro president from their eyes and realize that Obamacare has helped them.
Yes.
Whoops. Even if they're on employer's insurance, which some of them are, because they don't have a lifetime cap on their pre-existing condition, and their kid is still on their insurance until 26.
Exactly.
And et cetera, et cetera. When they realize that, and then the guy in the New York Times who was interviewed from North Carolina said, I don't know why I was against it.
I can't even figure that out. I don't remember what I did.
We know why you were against it.
Of course we know why.
And Mitch McConnell was between that voter whose child needs Medicaid.
Right.
Whose grandchild needs therapy, or was born prematurely and has already reached, $500,000 in medical bills and would be ineligible for insurance under the old plan after the age of 5, because that happens.
Mitch McConnell's between that voter.
Right, between that voter and the person who is on Medicare and doesn't see at all that Obamacare is anything but, as one person on Twitter tried to say, much to my delight, breaking up families.
Yes. Yes, that's all it's
trying
to do.
Obamacare is destroying families.
Tearing us apart.
And I just very calmly typed in, I need you to explain to me how health insurance is destroying your family.
Mm-hmm.
And I got blocked for that, because, the rhetoric is there. And this was sincere, Driftglass. This was sincere.
I'm sure.
So you
want to know.
I would genuinely want to know how having health insurance is destroying your family. But
shut up.
The rhetoric was there. This is a disaster. All you have to do is listen to Donald Trump's speeches. Mm-hmm. Number one, Obamacare is a disaster that's making everyone suffer under the yoke of Obamacare. And I am going to free you. And it's going to be health care that is wonderful and a fraction of the cost. And it's going to be so easy, and we're going to do it day one.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a guy in a white coat and a stethoscope in his audience behind him cheering away.
Right. Well, and we have those creepy commercials with the giant puppet head thing going down between some woman's legs in the white coat to, I don't know, do what. But, it's they waged a 7-year propaganda war using every tool in their toolbox to make people hate affordable health care and hate the guy who gave it to them.
Yep.
And
they also did not keep up with insurance companies' adaptability to the new program.
Yeah.
We can still make a profit And Obamacare basically was the compromise, mm-hmm. gave every insurance company that was willing to work within that parameter a whole bunch of new customers, mm-hmm. less paperwork, less staffing needs in terms of needing to deny coverage to people. Mm-hmm. And, it was still a license to print money in a lot of markets. So, including Jared Kushner's brother.
Right.
Whose company, you know, needs those exchanges to make money. Mm-hmm. So, they didn't keep up with that because you saw how, I don't know why we're talking so much about Obamacare, but we are. That we saw multiple insurance companies write joint letters to Congress saying, please don't do this,
yes.
right? And it turns out practically every problem you have in healthcare, mm-hmm. Whether it's the opioid crisis or handicapped kids or Ebola or Zika virus, mm-hmm. or anything, you know, senior care, Medicaid is a component that's necessary to fix that problem.
Right.
So moving on. Go ahead.
I can tell you why we're talking about the Affordable Care Act, the Obamacare.
Trump is blaming McConnell for not passing.
Well,
it
will lead us into our next topics.
Okay.
Which is, it's very simple. If you look at history, and I mentioned this once before on this podcast or twice perhaps. If you go back and look at the Catholic Church, a thousand years ago, the central organizing principle of early Christianity, of a lot of early Christianity, was the Jews killed Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the simple, direct Newt Gingrich, Rush Limbaugh message that organized the church, that gave it a lot of its structure. There were a bunch of other things. I'm not discounting any of it, but a central pillar of the religion was, you know, they killed Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. The central pillar of republicanism for the last 25 years is liberals are to blame for everything.
Right, right.
Anything liberals do is evil, and you cannot trust the news. You can't trust
the
news.
Well, and anytime something bad happens, it's liberals' fault. The king of that is Newt Gingrich. All you have to do is Google the three words Newt Gingrich blames.
Right.
And you will find that every single time there is a mass shooting, every single time there's Zika virus, every single time anything catches the mm-hmm. trending line mm-hmm. where it's some sort of generic thing, you know, North Korea, Fox News yesterday.
Right.
This is the liberals' fault. This is Obama's fault. So, this is whatever. Right.
So let's move to what happens when the mob takes it seriously.
Yes. Right.
Because they killed Christ. The Jews killed Christ is an organizing principle to keep the mob focused.
Right.
But you don't really want
anti-Semitism. Right.
Anti-Semitism keeps the mob in place, keeps the butts in the seats. And liberals are evil. They're trying to kill us all. Death panels. Don't trust the news is an organizing principle of the Republican mm-hmm. Party.
Right.
The problem becomes the people at the top know that it's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
They know that it's nonsense. It's just a useful thing to have everybody hating on some group, and they can control that. They can point that wherever they want. The problem becomes when you have people in the mob who believe this shit come to power and try to enact the crazy things that they have come to believe.
Like
because,
the Freedom Caucus.
Well,
the
churches are always told us this is true. So why don't we just kill them? Why don't we just purge them? Why don't we just torture them? I mean, if they're that bad, let's take action. You finally have in the Republican Party someone who has come to power who really
And you had before this with the Freedom Caucus. You already had this in the House. Yeah.
Right. But you'd never had it in the White House.
Yeah.
Someone who really believes the bullshit that he has been eating out of the Fox News dumpster for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
And who says, well, great, healthcare, well, let's get rid of it. I mean, you said we'll get rid of it. Let's get rid of it. Let's do it right now. Let's go. Let's go right now. And, well, you know, it's a lot more complicated. No, you never said it was complicated. You said it was easy. You said you could do it in a fortnight. You've already passed repeal in the House like 60 times. Let's fucking do this thing.
Just pass it again. Right.
And suddenly it's like, well, you know, it's very complicated. I mean, what the fuck are you talking about? And so you have a president who is the mob, who is a manifestation of the great big lies that Republicans have been feeding these meatheads for years. And now they want them enacted directly. They don't want to work through Mitch McConnell. They don't want to hear about the Senate rules. Mm-hmm. They want all the bullshit they were told would save them from the liberal horde, from the liberal terror that they have had to live under Obama, enacted right fucking now. And that's what has happened. You know,
it makes me wonder, though, if maybe the only way to successfully, and pardon me, because I'm going to get a little nihilistic right this minute, but that the only way to confront this whole conservative world is to go full Italy. I mean, and I mean that in the sense of the Italians lost respect for their government decades ago.
Yes, right? They did.
They had massive corruption. They had massive crime at very high levels, and it got to the point where the Italians just started electing prostitutes and strippers to their legislature. Just like, you're all a bunch of whores anyway,
sure.
So we're going to actually elect a prostitute or a stripper
and
put them in the legislature. And it turns out she did a really good job, you know? Because she understood serving the public, and she understood meeting the needs of a constituency, so she actually listened to her voters better than a lot of people would. But to take that $20 million again, you know, and just start a network where you have strippers sitting on the crotch couch, your liberal crotch couch.
Yep.
Now, I know we can't get away with this because we respect women.
We do.
But it would be so brilliant, I think, to and to do it consciously and ironically and with a sense of parody.
Samantha Bee.
You know, Samantha Bee style.
Yeah.
To say, you know, to have strippers, you know, every commercial break have one more article of clothing off. And every segment is Medicare for All is hot.
Marginal tax rates. Should they be lower? Down comes the bra. Or should they go up just a little bit? I like the whole idea. I'm there. Sign me up. I'm willing to subscribe. I'm all in on that idea.
I want to tax the rich. Ooh.
I want to tax them day and night, baby.
Redistribute wealth. I think we should redistribute wealth. Don't you, Drickless?
Oh, God. Yeah.
Get whatever me you hot say, thinking then. About it.
Well, and the situation
how
is...
How far is that from... you know, outnumbered on Fox, where they're all sitting there in their miniskirts, frowny-faced about people not respecting Donald Trump enough.
That's the problem, Blue Guy.
Yeah. Our intelligence level is too high?
Well, Fox News is a machine designed to keep a certain... This is where the entire argument breaks down.
Yeah, it does.
Because we're not mirror opposites of each other.
No, we're not.
You know?
Yeah.
They are the shallow end of the national intellectual gene pool.
Okay.
And we are the deep end of the national intellectual gene pool. And if that sounds elitist, that's because I am an elitist. I believe the best people should do the job.
Yeah.
And I believe the worst people should shut up and sit down for a generation or two and let the smart people clean the shitty mess up that they made. But that's never going to happen as long as we are, you know, as long as Tom Perez is saying, well, you know, Chuck, here's the thing. No, learn to talk like a Democrat. Learn to get your values straight. Mm-hmm. And we learned this at Netroots Nation last year, or the sentiment we brought with us home last year. We're not going this year. Didn't go this year. Lead with your values. With your values.
Yep.
And tell people what you think. Tell people what you believe. And you know what? It's gotten so bad that conservative political writer David Brooks has given up writing about conservatism and politics.
You can't write about politics anymore.
Or conservatism. You know, the implicit thing is... And you know what, Blue Gal? I was thinking, I remember back when I worked at Sears, and I was a stock boy and a truck unloader, and I decided one day I didn't want to stock shelves or unload trucks anymore. You know what? Why don't you just sit in the stock room, smoke a joint, and talk about religion and manliness, and that would be fine with us. Fuck no. If you don't want to do the job, David Brooks,
quit,
leave. And I have the same message for Charlie Sykes and Rick Wilson. You know, your job is to be a conservative commentator. That's fine. I think you're evil. I think you've been evil for most of your life. And I think you damn well know it. And your evil has paid for your mortgage and puts your kids through college and pays for your vacations. Got it. But if you want to start talking like a liberal, you got to leave because that position is already taken by liberals.
Yeah. And this is what you said last week. Yep. We got to get into Manafort.
Yeah, we do.
Whee!
Wow. The Manafort raid. That's not just the least known Civil War battle, but it might actually be the last battle of the Civil War, the Manafort raid. And it's important to realize about that,
that it happened last month. And it's just come out that it happened.
Yep.
Raids require a warrant.
Uh-huh.
And warrants, unlike grand juries, require probable cause.
Yes, they do.
And the probable cause in this case, from what I have read, is that Mr. Manafort was not likely to share everything with law enforcement or with the investigators.
Sharing is caring.
And there was probable cause that he was going to hide or destroy evidence. And so they raided his house. And they are now looking at his bank accounts. And this is why, and people have pointed out to me that the Mueller people probably already have Donald Trump's tax returns, which is why they hired all those financial people to be investigators. But you need to get Donald Trump's tax returns from the IRS, not from Donald Trump. Get what he filed under penalty of tax law, you know, perjury, et cetera. Whatever you might get them on mail fraud, you know, you just might. But you don't need to get it from Donald Trump because he's not going to give you the true documentation.
Oh, God, no.
But what this also means, that raid also means, is that it's likely Manafort hasn't flipped. He has not cooperated.
Yeah.
And Michael Flynn, on the other hand, filed another amended disclosure about taking money from Cambridge Analytica, which is, you know, the ninth level of Dante's Inferno.
Yeah.
It is... They are the people who are finding voters and targeting Facebook posts to those voters,
right?
Which have lies in them and making it so that they will vote or predicting behavior in a very specific.
They target fake news to gullible idiots and get them to move to the right.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it turns out Michael Flynn took money from them.
Yeah. A lot of money.
The Mercer family sponsors that, and just bad people.
Yeah, it's this whole web of really corrupt, interrelated people, all of whom are getting, you know, their beaks wet in the Obama hog trough.
Right, right.
Pardon the mixed metaphor.
The anti-Obama hog trough. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, now Michael Flynn is cleaning up his act and telling everything about where he took money so that he can be a credible witness for the prosecution. That seems to be the consensus. And so rewriting of Flynn's documentation likely means he has flipped.
Right.
And is going to get that golden star of immunity in exchange for his cooperation. Driftglass, there seemed to be just, you know, we began this podcast with the whole firing of Jeffrey Lord.
Yes, we did.
What is going on with all of the kind of Nazi authoritarian Stephen Miller, Steve Bannon, the Steves.
Yeah, Gorka. Don't forget Seb Gorka.
Gorka, who today said that it's absurd to listen to the Secretary of State say anything about military matters at all.
It's absurd to listen to the Secretary of State. I can do a... Give me one more scotch, and I can do a pretty good Seb Gorka.
It's Henry Kissinger without the charm.
and creepy
OG. I'd like to know what Henry Kissinger's, I don't have much to say in favor of Henry Kissinger at all.
He's an evil, evil person, yeah.
But I would really like to know what Henry Kissinger thinks of Seb Gorka.
Uh-huh.
And particularly Gorka's... affirmation that the Secretary of State's opinions on military matters mean nothing.
Yeah.
Particularly given Henry Kissinger's role in the Vietnam
War, secretly bombing other countries, having people assassinated, having governments overthrown. That record? Well, Seb, I mean, these are the creepy misfits who were creepy misfits right up until they were put in power in Germany. And then they became the government. These are the weirdos, the creepy fucking right-wing weirdos who now have a direct pipeline to the White House. And we have a Republican Party that is too compromised and too weak who are okay with it. And we said this last week. As long as somebody's around to sign a giant tax cut, which is the only thing, the only promise they are really, really obliged to keep, or else people are going to start showing up floating in rivers.
I think that's true. Yeah.
That's the one. You know, getting rid of health care was a means to an end. It was a means to free up a whole bunch of money
Yeah.
that they could then give back to the billionaires who run the Republican Party. But they don't care. They don't care about any of this shit. Stephen Miller went out and gave, you know, he has fully embraced his inner Goebbels. It's not even
absolutely.
Anymore.
No.
It's,
no.
You know, Donald Trump is the greatest orator who's ever been fucking president. And he's, you know, making a beeline to become the new mooch.
Yeah.
To run the communication shop at the White House. And he's 31 years old. He looks 81 years old. And he's a mean, fucked up little Nazi.
Yes, he is.
And, or as I call him in the notes, a creepy H.R. Haldeman homunculus, which, you know, I think is actually closer to the truth. But these are the people who tin pot dictators surround themselves with.
Yeah, that's true.
People who, you know, that this is the week we found out that someone in the White House has paid, you know, way more than I've ever been paid in my life for anything.
Yep.
To bring a folder full of clipped Fox News chyrons to Donald Trump twice a day to salve his ego.
Yeah.
That's the government that's the government that the Republican Party elected. That's the lunatic they chose, and that is the lunatic they're perfectly happy with right now, which is why they gotta go. The Republican Party gotta go. The only lever to pry them out of power right now is the Democratic Party. And if you think otherwise, you're living in a fucking dream world. You do not live in the same political universe as the grown-ups.
And you have to take the stand that Middle Child took after the primaries last year.
Right.
Which is, she was Bernie. 100%, you know, bumper sticker on her locker, t-shirt every day, Bernie. She still loves him. And that's she is politically. And she's 15. And good for her. I'm not going to try to bend her any way that she wants to be. She has respect for women. She has respect for people of color. And she loves Bernie. And so we will just go with that.
Good for her.
She will have more, you know, as children grow up, they get more facets to their political beliefs. And that will develop. So we're just going to let that happen. What she said at the end of the primaries, when it was clear that Bernie, her candidate, was not going to be the nominee, she said, "All right, Hillary, but I'm going to write to Hillary about fracking, and I'm going to push her on fracking because I think it's wrong." And, you know, I can't argue with that at all. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be right now writing letters to President Hillary to push her to the left on fracking?
And then she added, and then you know what Middlechild didn't add?
What?
"I'm going to harbor it and and be angry about it for the rest of my fucking life. I'm going to go after the Democrats every opportunity I can."
She's angry about Donald Trump being president every morning all are.
No, I'm even angrier about how Bernie was cheated and the Democratic Party is.
She doesn't think that. She doesn't talk about that at all.
She's, you know, she's a grown up.
Yes.
In that way.
In that way.
Speaking of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Here we are in the middle of trying to start World War III, and Donald Trump stopped trying to rush us over the cliff to Armageddon for 1 minute to lie about upgrading our nuclear arsenal.
Yeah.
I'm still like a really, just a Trumpian lie, bald-faced, ridiculous fucking lie about day one of my president, first thing I did was upgrade the nuclear arsenal. It's more powerful than ever. No, you didn't.
He signed an executive order to examine the nuclear arsenal and do a survey of it, which, you know, Steve Bannon wrote for him to have something to sign, but it doesn't
mean
anything.
And you know who started the process of upgrading America's nuclear arsenal?
Hussein Kenyon,
usurper? Yeah, the black guy did it. So you can count on Donald Trump undoing it. That was one of the many, many things that came out of the leaked transcripts. Oh, this has just been the last week, guys. This has just been the last week. The leaked transcripts have shown us a number of things that we all knew. We all knew this. First of all, Donald Trump's a moron.
Mm-hmm.
Second, he's a baby. He's a coward. He was basically begging the president of Mexico, "Please don't tell people you're not going to build a wall. It makes you look so stupid. Stop it. But there's also very clear that foreign leaders think he's a lunatic. He's an idiot.
Yeah.
He's a complete fucking idiot.
And particularly because his only policy is, "I'm going to undo everything the black guy did."
Exactly. That's his only concern.
And our allies recognize that is his policy, is undoing. Since Paris, they recognize, all he wants to do is just undo whatever has Barack Obama's name on it.
Right. And that is exactly where his base is. That is exactly where the racist, meathead Republican base is. So, for example, this is the week the Trump administration rolled back workplace protections for women.
Because Barack Obama put them in place.
Exactly. For no other reason other than if Barack Obama did it, it has to be undone. So that's the world we live in now. And it's really clear. I mean, this is This is not complicated. This is not sophisticated ninth level politics you have to figure out. Right now, at this moment in history, there are very bad people mm-hmm. and there's pretty good people. Mm-hmm. And if you're on the side of the very bad people, then burn in hell, you fuckers.
Well, I have no time for you. I think we have to get to the point where I think John McCain was, even mm-hmm. though, you know, Rojo said that it was his brain tumor that right, made him right. vote
Ron
against.
Johnson, let's be very clear about Ron that. Johnson. Ron Johnson, who was the senator from Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
You know who you could have had instead? Russ Feingold.
You could have had Russ Feingold instead.
Back. You could have had him back. He would have taken you back. But no,
yep.
you decided
yep.
to go with Ron Johnson, who told America that, well, one of the reasons that John McCain probably voted for it because of the brain tumor.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So he says he misspoke today. He tried to dial it back. Huh?
Maybe his stupid head is causing him to misspeak.
Yeah,
about that. Maybe the stupidness in his brain is making
But I think we need to take a page out of John McCain's book, one page. That is the page that possibly and might have uh-huh. voted against skinny repeal just to say fuck you to Donald Trump.
I'm okay with that.
And maybe you need to vote for a Democrat that doesn't give you 100% of everything you want yep. just to say fuck you to Donald Trump.
Yep. Maybe it's worth it not maybe to vote for the perfect and right. to vote for someone who's good enough to tell Donald Trump.
Block all
fuck
the perfect.
You.
But right. block everyone on your Twitter stream who's imperfect. Try that and see how that works out for you.
Oh, speaking of imperfect solutions, I just want to mention as a pro tip for you travelers out there.
let's end with this because this is very funny.
Well, I do want to mention a couple more things.
Oh, well, then do that and then tell your personal story, all right?
Sure. Robert Jeffries, mm-hmm. pastor of a Texas megachurch. Of course, it's a fucking Texas megachurch. And one of Trump's evangelical advisors said that God has given Donald Trump the authority to take out Kim Jong-un.
That's not scriptural.
No, boy, is that fucking not scriptural.
Okay.
Eric Bowling, speaking of not scriptural, allegedly sent dick pics or inappropriate text to some lady friends at Fox. I say allegedly because I don't want him to sue me for $50 million.
Which apparently he's doing. Yeah.
Fox has actually, and not allegedly, suspended him.
Yes.
So we got that going for us.
And I'm sure that there are ladies at Fox that have screenshots of whatever he sent to them. So I'm not worried.
Mm-hmm. Trump is thinking about privatizing the forever war in Afghanistan.
I added to our notes on that because I wrote up the transcript of, again, Stephanie Ruhle and Ali Velshi are doing a good job. They really are. And they did a segment that, to me, explained more about what is going on with the war in Afghanistan than I have seen on television in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you can go and watch 45 to 50 minute documentaries on Vice about the war in Afghanistan if you want to. I'm talking about in cable news, taking the time to say, here's how long we've been there, here are the players, here's how much it costs in terms of money, and here's how much it costs in terms of American lives.
Mm-hmm.
And now let's talk about how to get, where do we want to go? How do we want, what is our goal? What is the end game? And the idea that we're talking about that after it's already been the longest war in American history and now we're trying to figure out what our goal is, mm-hmm. is pretty remarkable. To my way of thinking, our goal should have been to get Osama bin Laden and then get out because no one ever wins in Afghanistan. And you should know by now that since the Soviet Army didn't win, Alexander the Great didn't win.
The Brits didn't win.
And that was brought up. That was brought up that, you know, no one has ever successfully managed militarily in that landscape.
No, to conquer and hold.
You cannot do it. It's mm-hmm. it's physically next to impossible because of the way the landscape is. And the people are not interested in being colonized and they will resist you forever.
Right.
So Eric Prince, you know, former Blackwater CEO.
Brother-in-law of Betty DeVos.
Betsy DeVos, our Secretary of Education,
mm-hmm.
Was on talking about his idea of putting a viceroy in charge of the war.
Sure.
And to be really fair, I mean, they did a great job of interviewing him. I was uh-huh. very impressed. Stephanie Ruhle said, look, anyone who is going to train soldiers and come up with an actual measurable goal in Afghanistan or in any project that for on behalf of the American people where, you know, the people in charge agree that this is the goal and these people are going to help. That is not charity work. And we understand you need to be paid for your work.
Mm-hmm.
But then asked, you know, how much money will this, how much profit will you get off of doing this? Where is your cut? And Eric Prince sat there and looked at her straight in the face and said, I don't know,
mm-hmm.
which is bullshit.
Right. And nose to the penny.
And then he said, well, you are advocating to the president that he hire you and your people to do this because this is why you're going around all the shows and talking about your plan, right? I don't know if I'll get the contract or not. Bullshit.
Bullshit. Exactly.
Bullshit.
Exactly.
And so the fact that Eric Prince was willing to lie on those two things and still mm-hmm. say that $10 million was going to be a solution, a $10 million program to put a viceroy in charge of all military operations in Afghanistan, and it should be a privately held, endeavor, outsourced, is bullshit.
and Eric Prince viceroy. So,
yeah.
Has a nice supervillain ring to it.
It's either that or it's a box of cigars. I don't know which. But So that's happening, apparently.
And speaking of generals and mm-hmm. warfare, 90 seconds after John Kelly took the job of wrangling the chaos in the White House and making sure all the kids had their bottles and went to bed on time. And everyone's like, you know, the pivot is finally here. The pivot has arrived.
Yeah.
The pivot isn't here yet. Sorry, guys.
No,
Trump went back to puking out unhinged rants on Twitter. Mm-hmm. For example, Richard Blumenthal is a phony Vietnam con artist who cried like a baby.
Why does Donald Trump remind anyone about? Because when you Google Donald Trump Vietnam, what do you get?
It's a rich and beautiful place. you just wander. Oh,
you either get his five deferments. Or you get his comments on the Howard Stern show about his sex life and comparing that to his personal Vietnam.
Yes.
And women's vaginas being landmines against his personal safety. Yeah.
Well, and Congress did take, because he behaved like a baby, because the pivot ain't here, Congress told him he couldn't have any recess. Which is very sad.
There is no recess.
No recess for you, Donnie. No recess for you. So he's not going to be able to do recess appointments, which means he can't fire Jeff Sessions, which in any other universe would be a horrifying sentence.
Yeah.
But Jeff Sessions is currently the bone in the throat of this administration for reasons that have everything to do with the fact that the entire Republican Party is a useless shit pile.
Exactly.
This one little turd is caught in their throat. And right now, I want Jeff Sessions fired. Right now, he's the thing they're choking on, and I'm all for watching.
Well, and McMaster as well. Yep. And, you know, they're going to have to take turns just being his body man and being beside him at all times and saying, no, you can't have your phone in the bathroom.
What are you doing?
President.
Knock, knock. What are you doing in there? What are you doing? I'm just playing Angry Birds. No, you're not.
No, you're not. Yeah.
That's lying. You're lying. Yeah. No, I'm doing Angry Bird things now.
I'm watching
Shut up.
Your Twitter, and you're going to have to, you know, if you're going to have his Twitter password so that you can delete what he does, it won't be fast enough, but at least you can stem the tide somehow. You got to do something to take away that phone.
Yeah, that's never going to happen.
And it's never going to happen. But, you know, that is what's hurting him.
Yes.
His poll numbers are terrible.
They're terrible, but they're not because all polls are fake. Hey, you know who just left the building? Not Elvis. The Secret Service just left Trump Tower.
They did.
Because he's a horrible landlord and tried to screw them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He tried to screw the guys who were willing to take a bullet for him out of extra money because Donald Trump just has never found anyone he doesn't want to rip off.
Yep.
So he tried to screw the Secret Service. They said, you know what? You don't live here anyway. So we'll be on a little tent outside on the street. Call us if you have problems. And affirmative action. Apparently affirmative action because we live in an opposite universe. The Department of Justice is now going to weigh in on behalf of Sioux schools, on behalf of the poor white people who are being pushed out by the
We did bring this up last week because we talked about the lacrosse players. That was sort of last minute. Yeah.
I've come full circle. And here's the thing. Everything we just ripped through, and I really did want to talk about all the good that you can do with a little bit of money. In your local community, because we don't hear nearly enough about that on any other place that I know of. But the things we ripped through right now and the 20 things on our notes we didn't cover,
mm-hmm.
is just the last week. So let me tell you what we did.
And something good you can do with a little bit of money we do in our church every August.
Uh-huh.
It's Undies Sunday.
Yeah, it is Undies Sunday.
We donate new packages of kids and teenage-sized underwear because kids come to school without underwear.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's one thing that parents can get by without.
Right.
It doesn't show. And so kids come to school not wearing underwear. And so it has been made, we have been made and many people have been made aware that this is the case.
Uh-huh.
And churches around our community and all over the country are donating new packages of underwear
mm-hmm.
to schools. And again, yeah. schools are the distribution point at which you can reach people. And making sure that kids have. And I always buy the larger sizes because I figure the little kids, you know, people will get little kids undies and maybe not remember the kids that are 12 and 14 and 16. And at that age, mm-hmm. Girls especially need underwear for all kinds of reasons. And it's so I tend to do that. That's the one that I pick. But mm-hmm. and socks. And we give socks and underwear.
Yes,
every August for mm-hmm. Undies Sunday. So then, and again, look, that's $5, right?
It's simple.
For six pairs of underpants. And you bring it in and everybody brings in a package.
Yeah.
And you're done.
You're done.
And it's a little bit of money that makes a big difference in
and
a community.
They do the same thing with diapers.
Yes, we do a diaper.
There's just a lot of, believe me, there are $5 kick-ins you can make all over your community mm-hmm. That's going to make a huge difference to some family out there.
Someone's life, yeah. right.
So
right.
And those are your values. Go ahead and spend $5 to pursue your values. Last Friday, we had to go up to Chicago. And this is why the podcast was awesome, but why we recorded last Wednesday. And here's a pro tip. We had to go to the International Terminal at O'Hare to pick up our world traveling kids. And that was
fun.
And their dad.
Yep. Everything's very cordial. So we picked up their dad too. Yep.
And we were going to run him to the place he was staying downtown. And sitting in the International Terminal is an education.
And yes, it is.
It's a delightful education. You know, the thought of that occurred to me is everyone in this room was at one point 1 pound and lived inside someone else.
Yeah.
Every language you can imagine. People waiting for hours and hours or minutes and minutes, depending on the flight or wherever people, you know, just a lot of love and a lot of hugs and a lot of delight at seeing someone coming through the gate and you've been waiting for hours, right next to a McDonald's
with American flags hanging over it.
So I don't know what war McDonald's won. Apparently the war to get that piece of real estate. So
seriously,
welcome to America. Have a Big Mac. But then we drove, downtown.
Into the loop.
I mean, straight into the loop. Now, this is my old stomping ground. Once I'm there, I know my way around very well.
Yes.
Here's the problem. Don't do it on the Friday that Lollapalooza starts.
We had no idea. We are so out of it. We didn't realize it was night one of Lollapalooza. Okay?
And number two, don't do it during a thunderstorm on the night of Lollapalooza when it's been dismissed early.
Yes.
And so you can't see anything. Every road you might want to take through the hundreds of thousands of people coming your way or the tens of thousands of people swarming around you is blocked off by the cops.
Yep.
And there's lightning and thunder and ambulances running up and down the streets and so on and so forth.
And young people with tank tops and shorts on and plastic garbage bags over their bodies trying to get to the L, right?
Or wherever they were going. It was cool showing our kids the many places I've worked.
Mm-hmm.
And many bars I've been thrown out of down the loop. And it was nice to sort of visit Chicago again. I have a deep love and affinity for Chicago. But we were
stuck down there for a while.
But Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this is – so don't do that. No Lollapalooza.
And we're sorry that for the kid's dad, we could not drop him off at the door of his residence where he was staying.
He was going. It was within view.
It was locked off.
We could see it. And there was no way to get to it. So
it was raining. Yeah, and it was raining. But there was nothing to do because the police had blocked off that block. So that's the way it was.
And I kept seeing the route we should be taking just across
the way. It's over there.
you can't get there from here. No, sorry, you can't get there from here.
No, there's a big Lollapalooza sign in the way of you getting to where you need to go. But we did. We got out. We got back. We got to Open House, and Junior Dude met his roommate. And he has a perfectly adequate freshman dormitory.
Well, that's just be clear. Blue Gal came home from Chicago, turned right back around, right. jumped right back in the same car, and drove Junior Dude back up to visit his
Augustana.
College. Augustana. Yep,
Augustana.
To visit college the next day. So this is the kind of schedule we've been keeping. And there hasn't been much of a let up. There's a lot of other things going on here.
So we met his roommate and his roommate's parents. And it was kind of funny because they talked about what they did for a living. And then I don't like to lead with my politics. So that's kind of, they were very nice people. I don't think they were Trump supporters, but you just have to, you don't want to be lead with that. So I just said, I'm a writer and editor. And then Junior Dude said, she's a very prominent blogger.
Junior Dude is very proud of you, honey.
I know, but it was funny to me that that he would just, no, I'm just going to lead with how important she is in the world of blogging, okay?
Well, and as even as sort of like non-threatening as you might want to keep it, as I recall, he wore his Smokey the Bear, Only You Can Prevent Fascist Takeover t-shirt.
No, it was Smokey the Bear t-shirt, Only You Can Prevent Fascist Liars.
Yeah. So
he wore that to the open house.
He wears on his sleeve and bless his heart.
His sleeve. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, thank you very much, everybody. Each week we post to our Facebook page and website an Internet Kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's Internet Kitty is Samantha. Last week we had Sam. This week is Samantha. Samantha is 16 years old and she is way too old for any Donald Trump nonsense.
We have a 16-year-old too. Yeah.
We do. We have a 16-year-old lady cat. So we love Samantha. Samantha has her eyes closed in this picture because she doesn't have time to open her eyes for you. Just forget it. She's tired.
Tired of your bullshit. Shut up.
And let me tell you, 16-year-old lady cats get to sleep when they want. Mm-hmm. They do.
They do.
You can send your Internet Kitty to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, or you can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service Go Postal Unions letter on the air unless you say otherwise. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, buy one for us. And thank you, everybody, who has joined the $4 for 400 episodes party that we've been having. It's not too late. You can go to paypal.me/proleftpodcast and donate $4. Or whatever you like, to our podcast. And we appreciate it.
You do.
Don't forget our Amazon link at our website. We believe in buying local. And we also believe in shopping Amazon with our link if your alternative is a big box store. Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a contribution. And you can, too, see our website, professionalleft.blogspot.com, for details. Both our PayPal and postal address information is there. At professionalleft.blogspot.com. Please share our show on Facebook or Twitter, and thank you for doing that. Hey, Driftglass, how are the Internet Kitties doing this week?
Well, Blue Gal, the Internet Kitties believe strongly that our next Internet Kitty should be named Cosmopolitan Bias.
Let's think about living.
Think about living.
Let's think about loving.
Think about loving.
Let's think about the hooping and the hopping and the popping and the loving, lovey, dovey. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting.
The Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license. Copyright 2017, Driftglass Blue Gal Podcast.
Fake news, sparkle farters.